heard in this process. Let's not be silent as the body of Christ. Yeah. That's going to be very important. There's a lot happening. I want to honor our time together. So just to be fair, we started at about 1:45. Right? And I'm saying that for a reason, because some of us are going to clock watch from now on. Because I stand between you and lunch. And whatever you've planned for the next afternoon. But I'm also aware that we want to do some things. So firstly, we got to acknowledge that there's stuff happening. To have Sheldon fall off his bike, firstly, oh, don't laugh, Ella, because it's your dad. And it was to see him in a sling and, oh, it was Aina. I don't even want to know what's happening in your home. I don't. But I could well imagine when I saw him, I said, but the pain, he said, they can't do anything. It has to grow back together. So that's time and pain and healing. Yeah. So there's an apology from Sheldon. That's why we didn't see him this morning, a part of what Kathleen was alluding to. Tracy's not here this morning. She's still recovering. And with Terry Ann and Eden and the householders, I told you the last time, and Peter sent me a message because I was down on Monday and Tuesday and then tried quickly to recover from this flu and what is going around. But I want to say this, you know, there's been a lot happening in all of our world. And this morning what we're going to do is, Fannis and I are going to just have a little conversation with all of us. And we're going to talk about some of the things that will help us to regulate, grow, teach us a little bit. And some of this you've heard before, by the way. Farnes has preached this message more than twice in the life of the church. But I think it's important that we go and repeat with some of this information that we're going to share. So Farnes, join me. And we're going to talk through a few fundamental things. But maybe just worth noting. Everything we announce here is for your benefit and to grow spiritually. So we're not a church that will say we want 20 people to do this and 100 people to do that. We understand that we are providing opportunities of growth for each and every one of us. Now you need to decide what that looks like. I'll give you an example. We've got the Bible school that is taking place. You've got to be grounded in God's word. Let's understand that. You cannot have this Christian walk and not be grounded in God's word. So we can provide an opportunity to register, to go to Bible school, to learn and to understand God's word, and also to grow spiritually. When we do the outreach work, we're helping you, and with the discipleship program, to understand that you are equipped for service. Because remember, you cannot be a Christian and just be a consumer and sit and criticize. You have to actively engage because God has called us through His Great Commission to go and spread this gospel. How we do that? The Bible says the gospel is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It means the framework can change, but the message will stay the same. We're not going to change the message. It clearly stands that God loves you. He loves who you are. You need to accept Him into your life. And in that, you don't sit and say, I'm a Christian. You go. By virtue of physically going, but also spiritually, because for some of you, you cannot necessarily go physically, but I do know, and I alluded to this last week, that some of you are praying and interceding and praying with us, and you are in the go movement. Because you are not passive, you're active. The other part of what we do in the life of the church is that we are allowing the children, as we see week after week, to hear God's word, because we understand that the generations to come, by the way, there's so much research out there, and I don't want to go there, that's not the topic for this morning, but there's so much research that is showing a generation that we are losing in different aspects of our society. Emotionally, we are losing, responsibility-wise, and we as the Bay are fully aware that we want to equip our children and the youth and others, and see this. Uganda a few years ago had a program that from birth to death, that they made sure that nobody is infected by HIV and AIDS. That was their intention. What we feel as the Bay, from your birth here, right until the Lord graduates you, that you have an understanding that is one continuous growth pattern. So not, it goes up, down, but it's continuous, and in that growing, there's equipping. There's making sure that you understand the training of that equipping and the Great Commission and what God has called you. And lastly, is to send. Because you see, there's times when those seats are empty and there are people out there ministering besides work and doing things. And it's important for us, as we're going to talk through a few things here this morning, that we are going and we're rolling a little bit back. So what we've done, and what Sheldon spoke about a few weeks ago, is that Martijn, and some of you know Martijn, we've had this training done a few years ago on the foundation stones, which is the foundation of your Christian walk. And we felt as a leadership, we're going to go back to our foundations and look at certain things, because I'm going to tell you why. And then I'm going to unleash, and I'm using that word fairness. We have seen people struggle in this church. Kathleen alluded to that, and I'm not saying this as a criticism, but I want to say this as a point and a fact. When we make an altar call for salvation, some people come every year and recommit their lives to the Lord. High corner. That's not what God has called us to do. Your salvation is not that. That you come every time for, I want to make sure I'm once saved, always saved. Amen. Hear me today. I'm talking to this congregation. Because some of you cannot go and come again. Come, no. Then there's some of you and some of us who go through life's challenges and we look at the fruit of our lives and we say, that's my lot. I'm always going to be like this. I'm always, no. And I'm doing this as an introduction because we are here to dispel the lies of the enemy over us. Amen. That we understand that when we walk out of this building, that we are not just transformed, but we are equipped to withstand the works of the enemy. Because there are different battles. This one here in the mind is one of the biggest ones. The Bible is clear, and it says in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not death. The enemy, and this is where I'm going to end off, just needs to cast the shadow on some stuff in your life. Yeah. Just a shadow. Did God really say that? Listen to Adam and Eve. Started there. Just a shadow. Did he really say that? Who do you think you are? What? We are here to dispel those things. Because you need to know. If you think these are challenges, and I'm not speaking this negatively of you, but the Bible is very clear. We are living in end times. Yes. We are living in perilous times. Yeah. Don't be surprised if you understand God's word, and that's why I alluded to the Bible school, and you start understanding what God is saying. You already can see into the future based on the fact that there will be wars. Yes. That there will be rumors of wars. That there will be poverty. That there will be these things. That the Bible is clear, and the Bible also teaches us, watch out for these signs to know when my end is near. Yes. So as we see things escalate, that means for us, we've got to draw closer to God. Yeah. That we've got to speak His word. Fanus, I said a lot.
Thank you, Errol. What a privilege to be here this morning. And the privilege is, having listened to the worship team, the songs they prepared,
yeah,
the way they presented it, the way that we could as a congregation enter in and share in that moment. Guys, to stand before our King, King of Kings, and to raise our hands and to tell Him we love You. There's none like You. You were, You are, and You will forever be. So, if you can imagine the stage here, this morning, we've heard a lot about what's playing out in the world. What do we need to prepare for? At best, this morning, we want to lay a foundation of the first step. At times, we'll give you a glimpse of where this flight of stairs is potentially going. Okay? But this morning, we're going to start rock bottom. And therefore, if I can just see my note here. Thank you, Errol. The first principle comes from Romans 10, 8 to 12. Yeah. Romans 10, 8 to 12 says this. Tracy Ingram shared this, I think, about two, three years ago. I can't remember what was playing out, but when you shared it, something spoke to me. I hope something will speak to you this morning. Yeah. Just open up your heart. Just hear what God is saying. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Hmm. The part of this truth is what's in your heart must come out of your mouth. The downside is what's in your heart will most likely come out of your mouth. Yes, absolutely. So this morning we're going to lay this foundation, Errol, and just speak into how we confess. What is it? Why is it so important for us to be heard? Why is it so important for us to, Kathleen mentioned it about righteousness, that we have been declared righteous.
Yes.
We have been declared righteous, and it'll touch on it right now again. It's not something that will go away in the process or disappear. God, when the day I went on my knees and Jeanette and I received the Lord, we laid down our lives, we asked for forgiveness, and God at that point declared us righteous.
Amen.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, or if you insecure about it, come afterwards. There will be people here that will pray with you. And as Errol said, you know, you can't have the same people coming up. So it is a matter of understanding in your heart that God says, I, God who created heaven and earth, says, I declare you, Andy, righteous. And nothing and nobody can change that.
Yeah.
Yet we ourselves at times try and do that. Okay, but we'll come to that. Kathleen spoke about calling out. You said call it out, call it out. And that again, what's in our hearts must come out of our mouths. We need to start declaring over a lot of things in our lives. And we need to take a stand. We need to draw a line. But for that, we need to have the courses that Hein and Jeff and all the guys were talking about. Those are the foundation stones, Errol, that everyone in this house needs. Yeah. And to stop us being waved around when the newspapers, when CRL stops jumping up and down, that's a very real thing, that. Mm. But so is my word of God. Amen. So is my word of God. And I choose, will I believe that?
Yeah.
Or will I believe what God's word says about this nation and about this country?
That's right.
Okay, so Errol, we've got a little exercise to do.
I like exercises.
So we have this behavior where we don't talk, we don't confess, we don't speak out what is required. Mm. And the question is why?
Yeah.
I'm going to come to the question is what now? I'll come to the why later. So what is it that will change our behavior?
Are you asking me that question, Farnes?
If you think you can answer it, go.
I definitely can, because I got all the support here. I can answer that question. Ask that question again.
So when my world falls apart,
yes.
I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I come to church every now and then, and I'm okay. But then my world falls apart. What is it that causes that behavior for me to now get sucked into a hole where that I can't get out?
Let's hear from us. Lack of knowledge. What else?
Yes, good one.
Insecurity.
Insecurity.
Yes.
Yeah, come on. I told you I got the answer. You can hear. Right? Unbelief. Yeah, come on. You're helping me. Let's go along. Relying on your own resources. Good. What else?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Hey? Wrong thinking. What else?
Emotionally led.
Wow. Come on.
That's a good
nice to see you, Mr. Ashwin. Anyone else? Yes, Peter. Hey?
I don't know who I am.
I don't know. Lack of identity. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that's what I said. Not knowing your identity in Christ.
100%. Aidan. Thank you. See, Ifanis, I told you I got the answer. Ask me another question. I'm ready.
Okay, so what I heard here is very often I blame my environment, or the environment is the problem. If I spend most of my time in a pub, I've got a problem. If I go and I seek out people that feeds my bad habits, I've got a problem, and I need to change that environment. And friends, if your friends don't line up with this, change your friends. Don't change this.
Amen.
Okay? And then the one that's the difficult one is I will.
Mm.
My willpower.
Mm.
I'm strong. I can do it. You're going to end up on your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You cannot rely. Self-discipline is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But to say that in my own will, I will overcome these things that Paul says, those things that I should be doing, I'm not doing.
Mm.
And vice versa. Okay. So let's just read something about Jesus is now walking, and he's got, the crowd is growing bigger and bigger. And they start getting what this Jesus guy is about. He's now talking about 3 days and heaven and they clicking here now. They starting to get it. And this is what John 6 verse 28 says. Then they said to him, and I shared this about a few maybe months ago here. Then they said to him, "What shall we do? What shall we do that we may work the works," plural, "of God?" They said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Mm. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God," singular. They asked plural, he answers singular. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." What are the first step that we want to start today is what should come out of your mouth, and not to fall back into the default position of wanting to do something. If there's a crisis, what must we do? What must we do this? We pray more, and that's good. And we read more Bible, that's good. But if you're seeking a solution outside of the problem, you're not really going to solve it. So,
can I ask myself a question?
Go.
Because, you know, this is quite important. What kind of self-help things do we do when we go through crises and situations? Because you read that scripture and you alluded to that. But for some of us here, let's just highlight the self-help kind of things we do. Because if you listen to what Marlon said here this morning, David inquired from the Lord. He could have gone out, he's skilled. He's as skilled as they come in terms of warfare and what happens, but he didn't want to go in his own strength. So let's just highlight a few self-help things that we do. I know some people buy books, for example, and it's How to Be a Better Person and 10 Things of Success.
Yeah.
And there are myriads of them. There are hot sellers out there. What other self-help tools gets used?
Instagram.
You. TikTok. TikTok said.
Yeah.
I've heard that. Jeff?
Dr. Google
self-help tools. Hey. Hey?
YouTube culture.
Come. Yeah, these are real. Because you know what? If you look at your phone as a beautiful thing, it will tell you how many hours you spent on there. And weigh that up and how many times you spent in God's Word. I'm just going to weigh that one out there. That's a... Ask a friend. That's often, I'm going through something. Can you please help me?
Yes.
Did the Lord show you who must help you?
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, because that's the default. What else? I saw a hand here. Wait. I know it's happy hour. So just hold on. is that another context for us? Yammer. Yes, Charlene.
Co-pilot.
Hey? Co-pilot. Yeah. Explain that a bit more. Yes, that. Oh, you're using the tool. Look at you, talk co-pilot. Ooh, look at you. Fancy. Yes, I see you. Yes.
You grit your teeth and you try harder to be better.
And that's the works. You grit your teeth and you try harder. Dr.
Gemini.
Ooh.
Sometimes you don't even want Gemini on and Gemini tells you something. I'm like, shut up. I don't need your advice. What else? Let's go. One or two more and then I'm going to hand over. Sorry.
You go to the
man. Oh, where? Yo, Jude.
Looking for prophetic
word. Whoa. That's what we were talking about. Because you know what? We live from prophetic word to prophetic word instead of hearing from God ourselves.
Amen.
And then he confirms the word.
Yes. Will then start prophesying to your soul.
That's it. Watch out for that track. Because AI has helped to understand. So when you start asking certain things, it tracks you.
Yes.
Not the world.
No.
And it will. And this is where we got to, and I'm going to hand over to Finance now. This is where we got to watch out as Christians. AI, part of the tools are good.
Yeah.
But there's a big part of it that's not.
Yeah.
And why I'm saying that is because it will track and it will tell you. You know, let me just, I didn't even prepare for this one, but back in the day, there was the magazines that used to come out the newspaper. Everybody ran to the comic section and others to the horoscopes to hear about the future. Oh, how's my week going to be? Let me just see how my week is going to be. Yeah? And some of us still do that, eh? We laugh about it. Watch out for the subtleties because our phone now will tell you, oh, you're having a good day. Let me tell you how to enjoy your day. Oh, shut up. I don't need you to tell me how to do this. These are real stuff.
Just switch it on for me?
Yes. Fourth. Oh, on. There.
Where do I?
Okay, the red one. So, okay, maybe point to this. Can I test it for you?
Sure.
There we go.
There we go. There we go.
Okay.
Okay, so we need to pick up the pace a little bit. If you... sorry.
No, it's fine.
Sorry, Edward.
We've done this long enough together. We got this all sorted.
So if you look at that, I'll call that my L graph, my love graph, because it's all about God. If you look, and don't, it looks complicated, but it's not really that complicated. If you look to the left, all that I'm highlighting there, that's all between God and me. Okay? Abram believed, and his righteousness was accounted to him. Okay? So there's a plumb line, and there's a measuring line. And I've got some scriptures to back all of it up. Trust me that it's there, and I'm not going to spend too much time. But this righteousness and justice leg, what does the Bible say about that? I think on page 17, I will read that. No. Righteousness and justice is the foundation of God's throne. Guys, if we want to go basic here this morning, if we want to go rock bottom, let's start there. We're throwing the first floor here for the staircase that we want to climb up to. Righteousness and justice is the foundation of God's throne. I can spend an hour on that, which clearly we're not going to do. So righteousness is what I believe. So what I pointed out between me and God is all about my belief system. So let's just look quickly at standing. When I surrendered my life to the Lord, I asked him for forgiveness.
Yeah.
My standing with God changed once and for all.
Amen.
Okay? It's a done deal. It's not something that I need to repeat. So my standing changed. But if you can see, there's a little line that runs from standing to state. So what is my state? This is my state. I'm up and down. I have good days and bad days. But my state does not influence my standing. My standing influences my state.
Yeah.
Okay? Identity and purpose. Andy, you touched on that. That determines my identity in Christ. And that, I walk out my... So this is... And then there's justified. The definition of justified is to be declared righteous. So all of that speaks what happened between me and God. And that is my belief system. When Jesus said, it's not what you do, simply believe, he said that.
Yeah.
All of those things. Now, let's go to justice. Mm. Justice is what I walk out. Justice is what I do. If this church doesn't engage with the widow, the orphan, the poor, and the foreigner, we're wasting our time. We can close up shop and start a bar or something, maybe gambling or something in here. Okay? Are you hearing me? Mm. The purpose is you do justice.
Yes.
You believe unto righteousness.
That's right.
And there's a scripture that I'm not going to go to now, but you do justice.
Amen.
Okay. And then, and that is between me and you. That's what we're doing here this morning. We're interacting. We're listening to people that come and say, how can they help us? What is the life of the church about? Mm. You know? Why are we here? Yeah. And if we focus on all the negatives, and that's what our heart is believing, it's going to come out of our mouth. Yeah. And we speak death and condemnation over ourselves.
Yeah.
Where if we believe that, we go to God's word, we read it. I want to just mention this. If you're sick here, let me start this way. If you have a great need today, just something that's been very prominent in your heart and so on, just raise your hand, just quickly. If you have a need, come on, guys. Yeah, look there. Just about everybody has got a need, has got something to pray about. Mm. Now let's try this. How many in the house today needs a miracle? It's not just a need.
Mm.
You need a miracle in your life.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm going with this?
Yeah.
But how does my belief system, Jesus said, it's not what you do, it's what you believe. Mm. How does my belief system, how do I change my belief system? Where do I start? Start here.
Mm.
Line it up with God's word. If you're sick, line up scriptures.
Right.
About healing, and confess that the same God that declared Jeanette righteous, that same God's word says, declare that over yourself.
Amen.
Speak it out. Believe it in your heart.
Encourage yourself.
Yeah. We heard
Marlon.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so where am I? Can we go to the? I think I've covered this.
Mm.
The main thing is this is foundation. If you really don't know where to start, start here. What do you believe, and how do you walk out justice? Sanctified, to be sanctified. God says, I will perfect you in your sanctification. Isn't that awesome? Me that fall over and do stupid stuff and think stupid stuff. God says, as I walk it out, I have perfected you in your sanctification.
Before we go to the next slide, this is important to note, and why we're teaching this is because some of us come with an understanding of false teaching that the more we do for God, the more spiritual we become. That's not true. You already were declared holy. You already declared what God has said you are. You're more than a conqueror. And you got to understand now, you got to walk that out. Because that's the part that people fall apart and say, oh, must I do more? No, not by works. Dead works.
Just go back to this one. I just want to complicate it a little bit more. What made me righteous in God's eyes is when I surrendered my life, when I laid down my life and I asked for forgiveness and I asked Him to become Lord of my life. Mm. Okay, so that was the easy part.
Mm.
So that was repentance. Yeah. I had to believe. Grace that led me to repentance was God gave me.
Yeah.
Now, what does repentance look like along the justice line?
Mm.
The justice line is us.
Mm.
So that famous scripture that if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins. My sins are already forgiven.
Yeah.
Yes.
What does that scripture say? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, It's a collective, guys.
Amen.
He's not speaking to the individual relationship that I have. He's now addressing this.
Yes.
And when the church messes up, the church must ask for forgiveness. Instead of going back to God and repenting 10 times where once was sufficient, this is where I need to hear from you guys.
Yes.
I need to hear, Farnes, you messing up. You whatever. You hear what I'm saying? This is where my state catches up with me every now and then, and I mess up. And all I need to do is to go to Andy and say, I'm sorry, my bud.
Mm.
You know, whatever it is that I could have done them harm. With our relationships, with our wives, with our families, with our children. Come on, guys. Have you ever repented to your children?
Yeah.
Because they're part of God's kingdom.
Yeah.
They're part of the ecclesia.
Yeah.
That's a difficult one. But as a father, and Jeff and them touched on that, as a father, I need to go to my family when I'm messed up.
Mm.
But that is the continuous repentance that I walk out. Okay, let's go to the next one. Yeah. There we go. Okay, so this is an interesting one, Errol. Because on this tree, there's supposed to be fruit. The Bible says the tree will be known by its fruit.
Mm.
Okay? So I want to do right, but I need to start believing right. Jesus' words, what shall we do the works? He said, start with your belief system.
Amen.
What do you believe? The biggest lie that the enemy has been selling the ecclesia for a long time is that if I'm obedient, that tree will look good and God will be happy with me. And that's not what it is. Obedience is not what feeds the roots. It's right believing that feeds the root. Obedience is a fruit. You get that?
Yeah.
Obedience is a fruit. So if I want to be recognized as an apple tree, if I go and I go to the nursery and I buy Errol apple tree. And he wanted an apple tree his whole life, and I went and I bought him a big one that comes on the back of a truck with a crane and he can plant it, okay? Now, halfway through, Errol says, but Farnes, can't we change this to pears? You know, I've had it with apples. Now, I want, the tree will be known by its fruit. An apple tree will only grow apples.
Yeah.
Whatever is in your heart will manifest as fruit on that tree.
Yeah.
And so the lie has been that if you do right, what must we do? What are the works of the Father?
Mm.
So if you work correctly, that tree will flourish and grow. No, it won't. You have to go to God's word. You have to study God's word. You have to declare God's word. You have to operate in a society like this where we have the Hines and the Jeffs and the Marlins and Peters and people speaking into our lives. That is what will affect my belief system I'm wrapping up. Once my belief system is in place, I will do the right thing. Doing is good. There's nothing wrong with, we have to get to the point where we do. But if works and performance base is going to feed that tree, it's going to crumble up and die.
Yeah. So as we wrap this up, this is only an introduction because we're going to have more of these kind of conversations. We've got to understand, what does the Word of God say? Who is the gardener in our lives? What does the Scripture say? Who's the gardener in our lives?
Father.
Who prunes us?
The Father.
Who prepares the soil for us? The reason why I'm asking that is because you must understand, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fertilizer and the things we put in is important. The Word of God, the foundation of which we stand on, is important. Something Sav said yesterday when we were talking about this a little bit, and I want to put this there because I want to explore it a bit more. Are you buying fruit or are you bearing fruit?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Because you know why? You can buy fruit by just faking it until you make it. You talk the Christian walk, you talk this thing, but you're not spending time. But the power is lacking. The fruit is not in its season, and fruit goes bad when you buy it.
But when it's on a tree and it grows, you pick when you need it and it holds and it sustains. What I'm saying here is, and what we're saying, your root system must be what it is, grounded on God's word.
Yeah.
You've got to spend time with God.
Yeah.
Remember we spoke about the self-help things. Let your algorithm die and your spiritual growth excel.
Yeah.
Come, let's stand with us. Because the challenge this morning is, what is the foundation you are standing on?
Yes.
Is it in God's word by virtue of our lips, or is it by our doing? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm standing here and I'm challenged with the same question I'm asking you. I've got to adjust my own personal space so that I can spend time with God, so that I can bear the right fruit in its season.
Yes.
I don't want to buy fruit. I don't want what somebody else said and somebody else's revelation and somebody else's encounter and somebody else's thing that they talk about the Lord. You want to experience it yourself.
Yes.
There's a song that I'm going to put out. I'm actually going to put it on our group. I was going to end it off with a song this morning. It's a song called Testimony by an artist who's, yes, that's right. And she, actually, this song was commissioned out of a series of things that came out called Heaven. And she then sings the song, and I listen to her testimony. And she says this in this line, and you can listen to it. I'll put it out on the group, and please, Tina, help me just to send that out. Because what happens there, she says that your story cannot be changed for His glory. Because nobody can take your story away. Your testimony is so important. The enemy wants to give you a false testimony and says, take this fruit that you saw somewhere else and it becomes your testimony. No, you got to experience God yourself and grow in what He has called you to do. Because in you growing fruit, others can pick off that fruit for a season until they grow and bear fruit again back in its season. We are all called to bear fruit.
Amen. Amen.
So please hear me today. And hear us today. What we are doing is help you to think right, to do right. The back comment there was that you got your bill. What was your comment? It was actually so in line.
Emotion.
That's it, yeah. Everything you go through, your soulish realm and things that we experience in our day-to-day activities, is rooted into an understanding that unless we are not grounded and our root system is not strong and secure, when the winds and storms will come, our roots will lift out and we can die spiritually. That's why we've got to be planted.
Yes.
By where? Where does the Bible say we must be planted by?
Rivers
of living waters.
Yes.
So that we can bear fruit in its season.
Yes.
Where are you planted? Come, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that this morning we are challenged to look at our lives because of what you are doing and what you are preparing. The seasons and times, and we can feel it closing in on us, that it's end times. We might not see certain things in our lifetime to be fulfilled, but it's end times.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray that as we leave from this building, that we will recalibrate our daily lives, that we will re-look at the way we spend time with you, that we re-look, oh Father God, at your word and an understanding of how much time do we spend and the things and the decisions we make, that we will hear you first.
Yes.
That we hear from you. That we won't just buy fruit, that we will bear fruit.
Yes.
That yes, it's you pruning us. That you will cultivate, the Father God, the soil. That you will send people in to help us to water and to be, oh Father God, encouragements. And people that we find here in Koinonia, in this fellowship of believers, that we have an understanding that we have been placed here at the Bay because we, oh Father God, are developing relationships for your glory.
Yes.
To strengthen each other. So thank you, Lord, for our time together.
Father
thank
God.
You.
We yes. thank you, yes, Lord. And Edel, if I can just close with this. I didn't say it glibly, but I asked, who wants a miracle in this room? Mm. Who's waiting for a miracle? I believe that as we take those first steps, we address our belief system. We start lining up our mouths with that. The word that you brought, Kathleen, was about there's a shift.
Yeah.
There's a shift.
Yeah.
There's a shift. God is not spectating. God is stirring. Yeah. God is actively engaged in this.
Amen.
There's a shift coming that if we continue building and changing and growing, that miracle is in this room.
Yeah.
That miracle is in this room.
Amen. Lord, we thank you so as we go, Father God, from this place, that you go before us, that you protect us and cover us, that you are our source and our provider, that you are everything that we need. Thank you that your word declares that we are more than conquerors in you, Lord. And we thank you for that, that we stand firm. And as we go out in our day-to-day activities, that we receive the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. That we thank you that you will open up the right doors, that those that are in business will have the right deals that will close, oh Father God, that will benefit the businesses here in this place financially. We thank you that where we go and we're working for our bosses, that we will serve you through what we do, that our attitudes, our behavior, that everything that reflects who we are, that you call us, yes, to be salt and light, but we need to be your vessels on this earth. And that we need to walk out our salvation, and that we need to walk it out with the confidence of what you've shown us this morning. So bless us, O Father God, today and the week that lies ahead, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to cut my mic off otherwise. Just hold it.